Well, it is really great. I feel very pleased and honored to be here with you today. I hope there might be some sense of the other way around, but we'll find out by the end of the meeting. But it is good. It's good to see Garth Hildebrand with us. Garth is from Stratford, where we came with, and he has six brothers and one sister. Seven boys in the family, and they finally had a girl after we left. So it's not amazing. But I am thrilled to be here today because I've got something that I think is important to be able to talk to you all about, and something that I think will register in your heart. And a lot of it has to do with even why we exist. You know, what reason we're here for, and what's our ultimate purpose in life? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, God, why did you give me breath? Why am I born? What's my purpose? Why am I here? Who am I? What's this life all about anyway? And I want to be able to talk about some of that today, because people a lot older than you have argued about that for many, many years, trying to figure out what their purpose is and what value we even would have. And I want to say to you that as much as we want to see you all fulfill the call of God on your lives and to have a great relationship with the Lord and to walk with Him in fullness, I would say that your ultimate call on your life is to give glory to God. There's this saying, years ago, a bunch of church fathers got together, formed what they called the Westminster Catechism, and they said this. They believe from reading the Bible that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What does that mean? That means that the ultimate purpose that you and I have is to give God glory. That means whatever you do in your life, whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever your relationships are like, whatever your financial situation looks like, the purpose behind it is for you to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You will be most satisfied when you come to enjoy God the most. Did you know God actually wants to be enjoyed? He wants to be loved by you, and He knows that if you come to love Him deeply, He knows that you will have the most joy in your life. If you come to the place where you learn what it means that you are a daughter or a son of an incredible Father, that He absolutely delights in you, and that when you learn what it means to love Him back in return and respond to the love that He has for you, you will find the greatest level of joy in your heart and in your life. You will never find greater joy hanging out with your friends, engaging in something that was maybe just slightly sinful or slightly bad and wrong and naughty. You will find the greatest joy if you realize that your life exists for the very purpose of giving God glory. And so what does that look like? And what does it mean to give Him glory? Well, before I do that, before I talk about some of that, I want to share a few things about God that I think are important for us to know. Okay, here's the first one. God has infinite, that means, who knows what infinite means? It's like everlasting, you know, exceeding, excessive, never ending. He has never ending greatness and worth. That's probably not new to any of you. God has absolute infinite greatness and worth. The next thing that you need to know about God is God loves Himself infinitely. He loves Himself because He knows He's it. He knows He's incredible. Now, if I were to come up to you and say, you know, guys, I just want you to know something. I am absolutely incredible and amazing. Probably half of you would look at me thinking, is he joking? And the other half would sit there and think, you know what? I'm tuning out. Get me out of here. As a matter of fact, if some of your friends said, you know, I want you to know how incredible I am. You know, I'm amazing. You hang out with me. You've got it made. But God has the right to say that. God has the right to be able to declare that He has infinite worth and value. He has the right to be able to say, you know, sons and daughters, boys, girls, men, women, I am amazing. Because He is, and He knows it. He knows that He is absolutely incredible. He knows that He is where it's at. And because He knows that He's absolutely incredible, He is uppermost in His own affections, meaning that He thinks more highly of Himself than anything else that's out there. He knows, because He is uppermost in His own affections, because He understands that He is an absolutely amazing God, that He is not oblivious, meaning He is not lost to the fact that His glory and His beauty is so amazing that he wants all of creation to recognize his amazing beauty and his amazing glory and worship him. As a matter of fact, God would say that you will be the most satisfied. You will find the greatest level of joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment in your life when you actually come into agreement with him that he's where it's at. That he is the most incredible, beautiful, glorious, glamorous, most filled with splendor reality that ever existed on the face of the earth. And if you come into agreement, when you begin to see that he's an amazing God and you recognize that, you're going to find the greatest level of fulfillment in your life. I saw a picture a couple weeks ago in a worship service. And in this picture, I saw all of heaven up above, you know, and the angels and all the people, you know, parents, grandparents, people that died in advance that are in heavenly places, they're looking down. And I really believe there's portals in heaven. You know what a portal is? It's like, you ever been on a boat? You see these portals even out the portal windows. But portals is like this little hole. And even when my dad passed away really suddenly in the end of April 2002, I saw a picture of him in heavenly places. And I saw him looking down this portal. It was kind of this twisted one, but had these mirrors. And I saw him there, and he was in heaven. And I believe there's portals there. Well, in this picture that I saw more recently, I saw these angels looking down from heaven. And they were absolutely amazed. You know what they were amazed at? They were amazed that we, as the church, as the sons and daughters of God, would worship the way we do. They were amazed that we would give glory and honor to God. You know why? Because they, in heavenly places, get to see the incredible, glorious splendor and beauty and radiance of God. But you and I, we only see what the Bible calls through a glass dimly, or through a glass darkly. We see such a small amount of the beauty of God. And the very fact that you would be here and would come into the place of worship to gaze upon the presence of God, even though you see such a small reality of it, amazes the angels in heaven. It amazes, I believe, the saints. The Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12, that are really cheering you and I on. As a matter of fact, there's a recognition that where they are in heaven, their race is finished. They have already walked the walk that they're going to walk. You and me, we're still going. We still have time left. And they're there, and they're cheering us on, and they're saying, you can do it. You can walk this walk. You can live for the glory of God. You can begin to recognize the excessive glory and beauty of Jesus in this life and walk your walk or live your life in such a way that will give glory and honor to God. And even they're amazed that you would take with just a tiny bit of faith, having seen this much of the beauty of God, that you would live your life in such a way as to give him glory and honor. And I just felt the amazement of the angels of God. I don't know if any of you have read the passage in Revelation chapter 4 where it says that the 24 elders and the four living creatures are there and they're giving glory to God and they're bowing down and they're worshiping him. And every time they see him, they're saying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. You know, he's holy, he's beautiful. And it says day and night they never cease. They don't ever stop declaring how beautiful and how glorious God is. And that's the atmosphere in heaven. That's the way it is in heaven. Do you know why it's like that in heaven? Because they see Jesus as he really is, as being somebody that is all glorious. They have come into agreement with God's own view of himself. Like I said, God knows he's incredible. God knows he's beautiful. The Trinity, you guys know what the Trinity is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are completely happy in their intimate relationship with one another. They absolutely love one another in the Godhead. The Father thinks the Son is phenomenal. The Father loves the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, adores his Father, and he loves the Spirit of God. And everything the Holy Spirit does is to give glory to Jesus and the Father. And they are so incredibly filled with joy and happiness in their relationship together in heavenly places that they cannot keep it to themselves. See, that's the beauty about love. Love isn't really fully expressed as love until it's given away. And so because God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love each other so much, they realize that they had to give this love away, so they created you. And they created the earth. And remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what the plan of God is. God's intention for the earth is that earth would look just like heaven. God's plan is that the incredible joy and worship that's in heaven and the ability to see him and to see his glory and his beauty in heaven would be exactly the way it would be on earth. So that those of us that exist on the earth today would be able to look at God and see his beauty. So that earth would be just like heaven would be. As a matter of fact, God reigns in heaven. That's not hard to believe, right? The Father, God the Father, is seated on the throne in heaven. He is the king over all of heaven. When God created Adam, he created Adam so that he would be the king over all the earth. But Adam blew it. He didn't follow and do it God's way. He actually fell short of the glory of God. There's a passage in Romans 3:23. Some of you maybe know it. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? We have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and we've fallen short of God's glory. God's glory exists. God is glorious whether we fall short of it or not. The truth is we've fallen short of it. We have fallen short of God's glory. But God wants to manifest or show his glory on the earth just like he does in heaven. And so Jesus taught his disciples to pray this prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the will of God for your life? The will of God for your life is that in everything you do, in everything you taste, touch, feel, think about, say, in all of your relationships and the way you handle money, that you would give God glory. Just like they're doing in heavenly places. That you would honor him. As a matter of fact, that saying, I'm going to say it again, this thing called the Westminster Catechism. The chief end of man, meaning the ultimate purpose of mankind, you and me, our ultimate purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How many of you know what Psalm 27 verse 4 says? If anybody wants to look it up in your Bible, and whoever's got it first, I'll let you read it. Okay? David understood this. There's other men and women of God in the scriptures and beyond that understood the greatest pleasure that we could possibly have. I mean, you guys are young people. You guys like having fun, don't you? It's good to have a good time. Okay, go ahead. You read it. Psalm 27, verse 4. Okay, David fully understood this ministry or this privilege. And so everything that God does, his purpose is to preserve and display his glory. Go ahead, Mr. Meyer.
That's mayor.
Mayor. He's going to be a mayor of some city maybe one day. Go ahead.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
See, here is a king, King David. I mean, if you think you've got it made, David was a man who wasn't really looking for or aspiring to be king. That wasn't the goal of his life. But that's something that God said he's going to do. You know what David felt? David thought the ultimate thing, the most important thing that he could ever do with his life was to gaze on the beauty of God. He says, there's one thing I've asked for, that I will seek, that I may gaze upon your beauty, that I may inquire in your temple. David was a worshiper whose side job was a king. I don't know the goals that you guys have for your lives. But let me tell you, whatever it is, if God's put it into your heart, it's meant for the purpose of giving him glory. And your ultimate purpose is to glorify God, but that is not to be confused with your assignment. David's assignment was to be king. But the call of God in his life was to give him glory, was to give God glory. And your assignment in your life, I don't know what it is, but I will tell you that the call of God on your life is whatever you do to give him glory. That's what it says in, it says that in the New Testament. I believe it's in the book of Romans. It says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do everything you do to the glory of God. What does it mean to do it to the glory of God? It means to do it in such a way that God is honored. That we begin to recognize the incredible worth and value that God has. That he has incredible, absolute value, and he wants us to recognize this. Now, you know what other plan of that God has? Another plan of God is stated in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. And it says this. It says, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, even as the waters cover the sea. That is a prophetic promise, which means that the whole earth, every part of the earth, one day will come to the place that it is filled. Every single spot will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That every one of us will know. All of his creation will know. God doesn't just want you as people, his people, as the highest form of creation to know about his glory. He wants the whole earth. He wants all the creatures, the animals, the birds of the air. He wants them to know about his glory. What do you think about these tsunamis and earthquakes that are happening? Have you ever wondered about them? Why is that happening? I'll tell you why. Because Romans chapter 8, it says that all creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God. It's like, you know what it's like when you're sick? You enjoy being sick? I don't like being sick. You know what happens when you're sick? It's like everything's rumbling on the inside and it's just looking for a place to escape. It tends to happen in one of two places. It all gets out. Well, you know, because there's rumbling going on. There's a groaning happening. All right? And all the sickness inside of our beings is trying to get out. Well, the earth is like that. The earth is sick right now. You know why? Because the earth is looking for the creation, the sons of God. And that sons can mean daughters just as much as it means sons. The earth is looking for the sons and daughters of God to stand up and to recognize the ultimate call of God on their life. Your ultimate purpose is to give glory to God. God is looking for the sons and daughters of God to stand up and begin to bring forth the righteousness and the glory that we're called to have. And because it's not happening, the earth is beginning to convulse. Earthquakes happen. Tornadoes happen. Tsunamis take place because the earth is sick. It's like the earth has a fever. It is fevered right now. Some people call it global warming. Okay? But it's fevered. Because the earth knows that we are not aligned with the ultimate purposes of God. As a matter of fact, I would say to you that it's my belief that God created the earth with a purpose, a three-way relationship. God created that you and I, as the highest form of his creation, as well as all the rest of creation, would have a relationship three-way. God, creation, including you and I, and the land. And if we acted righteously and gave God glory upon the land would respond and be fruitful. But if we acted in a sinful way and began to take away from the glory of God or devalue his worth and his value, the land would respond by getting sick and starting to convulse. Anybody ever been to Haiti? You know, Haiti, 200 years ago, they made a pact with the devil. They said, we're going to be devil worshipers. Haiti had 26 inches, I believe that's the right figure, of rich soil and loam, which means that it had the ability to produce incredible produce. In 200 years, because they began to practice Satanism and voodoo, that 26 inches went to half an inch or a quarter of an inch at best. In some places, it's like the soil is so brutal, you can't do anything. If you were to go on an airplane and fly over Haiti in the Dominican Republic, which is all one island in the Caribbean, you'd see this line, the straight line. On the Dominican Republic side, it's nice and green and lush, and things grow there, and it's beautiful. On the Haiti side of it, it's brown, it's dusty. A tropical storm comes, it creates death, it creates fever, because the land is simply responding to the sin that has been done on it. I am giving you today, I believe, what has potential to be one of the greatest secrets or keys to a fulfilled, successful life. In one sense, you're already successful because you're here and you're a son or a daughter of God. I am trusting and believing that each one of you recognize that, you know, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he led you, he reveals the Father. And when you receive Christ into your heart, it means you're a winner, essentially, because you get to spend eternity with him. But you also want to fulfill the call of God on your life. Your identity is one thing. Your destiny is completely different. And part of our destiny is to give glory to God. And the land in Haiti is not giving glory to God because of the sin that was done on it. So the creation, even the land in Haiti, as an example, is crying out and is saying, will the real sons and daughters of God please stand up and do something about this mess we're in? Because even here, you know, even here in Canada, there's somewhat of a mess. How many of you know where Almolonga, Guatemala is? How many know where Guatemala is? Are you from Guatemala? No. You know where Guatemala is? Well, Almolonga, how many have heard about Almolonga? Almolonga is a town in Guatemala that is surrounded by agricultural. The business, the industry around it is agricultural. And they realize that the sin in that neighboring city of, or that neighboring territory of Almolonga was so bad that so many people were living for themselves, they were not giving glory and honor to God to the degree that, you know, there was murders, there was drugs all over the place, there was brokenness in families. Nobody was calling out to God anymore. And the church leaders and some of the key Christian leaders in that neighborhood said, we need to have a national repentance. We need to have a solemn assembly, like is mentioned several times in the Bible, including Joel chapter 2, which, by the way, in any time of disaster, God's solution is a solemn assembly. In Joel, and it's a completely different message, but if you read the book of Joel, and I would urge you to read the Word of God because it is your secret to fulfillment and success in life. If you want your life to count for something, begin to get a hold of the heart of God. And you get to know that in several ways, but one way is through reading the Word. In the book of Joel, they called because they had a major locust storm sent their way. Locusts would come and eat all their crops. So where it was once green and this big cloud, all they could see is grasshoppers and locusts all over. They ate their crops. And they also had war and the devastation of war at that time. But God ends up saying, come and gather together and begin to fast and pray and seek my face and repent on behalf of the sins of the land. And God ends up saying at the end, perhaps I will hear from heaven and perhaps I'll even leave a blessing behind. And so in going back to Almolonga, they did that. They called a solemn assembly. They had the gathering amongst the church leaders in that community. And they began to repent, and they cried out to God for mercy because life really sucked at the time. It was hard. Their fruit, their businesses were failing. And they asked God to forgive them for their sins, and they began to repent to one another for the sins that they had committed against other people in that neighboring area. And husbands and wives would get together, and business leaders, and the leaders of the city, the mayor of the city, Mr. Mayor, began to repent to one another. And what happened is when it was all said and done, they had this massive worship service in this, you know, in a stadium-like place where they began to cry out to God. And over the course of the next bunch of months, what happened, and you can see this in a video called the Transformation Videos, their fruit and their land was healed to the degree that they didn't get carrots that were the size of, you know, my, you know, just this little tiny carrot. They got carrots that were the size of my arm. You know, from the top of my finger. It was massive fruit. All their fruit was incredibly huge. 90-some-odd% of that neighboring area gave their hearts to Jesus. It became a Christian village. Suddenly, where they had poverty, they were able to buy quality Mercedes trucks to deliver their produce to the neighboring community, and they became very, very wealthy because of the prosperity that God brought them, because the land was healed. How many of you know what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? I'll quote it to you, but you can look it up as well. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Well, in the case of Almolonga, the land was healed. Guys, you are incredible here today for several reasons. You know why? Because you have been given the assignment by God to make a difference in this world. God has assigned you to be the solution. God has chosen from the beginning of all time that you would be the solution to this world's problems. And that's why he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, you have the right to stand up on behalf of the sin even on the land. You Don't wait till you're older like me. Do it when you're a teenager. But recognize that everything you do, your ultimate purpose is to give glory to God. How do you give glory to him? You give glory to him by extending worship, by giving him honor. That's why what you do here when we worship is so important. But you give glory to God even by redeeming the land. You give glory to God in the way that you relate with your families. Are you constantly fighting and squabbling, or is there a place of peace? If you're constantly squabbling, that's not very glorifying to God. And even though you might not be the one that's the problem, God has actually said, no, but you're part of the solution. Do you know that you're part of the solution? How many people are here that are part of the solution? Hands up high if you're part of the solution. You're part of the solution. If you are a son or a daughter of God, all creation is waiting for you to stand up and be the solution. You know, how many of you have heard the saying, you know, well, we're just waiting on God to come and do something. We're just waiting on God. Well, guess what God's saying? God's saying, I'm just waiting on you. You know why? Because he made it really clear in the Bible in a couple of places, and I'll quote two of them. If you've got a pen and paper, you can write it down and study it later. But the first one, it was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. It's called the dominion mandate. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, let us make man in our image. And then he said, let them rule on the earth, subdue the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Let them. When God used the words, let them, he essentially was saying from heavenly places, I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to interfere every time humanity and humankind and you and me are going to make a mistake. He decided that when the earth was created, because God loved himself and loved what he had in heaven so much, he wanted to duplicate in another place. And so he created the earth. It's like a colony. Earth was meant to be like a colony of heaven. And his intention was the incredible beauty and the majesty and the glory that they had in heavenly places, he wanted it to be the exact same way on the earth. And so he created Adam to rule the earth in the very same way that he, God the Father, would rule in heaven. And he said, let them rule. Well, he never pulled back on that statement. He never said, God is going to have to take over because mankind is messed up. No, you know what he did? He actually sent his son Jesus to become a man so that our ultimate leader would be a man. His name would be Jesus. He's known in the Bible as being the last Adam. And the last Adam is going to rule the earth, and we will follow his leadership, Jesus, the Son of God. But the second verse that says is Psalm chapter 115, verse 16. 115, verse 16, where it says, the heavens belong to the Lord your God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. That means that it is your responsibility to deal with the earth. And, you know, I want to say to you, as somebody from the older generation, I always used to be the youngest guy around. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I'm still a young guy. I'm just 20 years older than you. Or 30 in some cases. Or maybe 40. I don't know. Not 40. But, you know, he has said, I've completely lost my thought now. He has said that the earth belongs to the sons of men, which means that it's our responsibility. I know what I was going to say. Our generation has messed up a lot of stuff for your generation. You know, and I'm sorry about that. I think I heard somebody say, yeah, you're right. No, you're right. It's true. We have been selfish. You know why? Because our generation hasn't got the picture. We haven't got the message that our ultimate call was to give glory to God. And when we live for ourselves, when we live selfishly, as though it's all about us, we don't give glory to God. We live in a culture here in North America that says that, or we it's almost like we believe that God exists to please us. We have this mindset, even though we know it's not true in our head, we live our lives in such a way that we think that God exists to be a blessing to us and to please us. Do you know what the truth is? You exist for his pleasure. You don't exist for you. You exist for him. You have breath and life ultimately for his pleasure. But he has a lot of glory when you are enjoying your life. When you are living your life for his pleasure and his glory, he's pleased and you get to enjoy that joy that God has. And so we, as the last generation you know, have basically left a mess for you in this earth. And we've been very selfish. We've only thought of ourselves. We haven't really thought of you. We've left a lot of debt in our nation. The earth is still groaning. The earth is groaning for the real sons and daughters of God to stand up and identify themselves. And the Bible makes it really clear what our solution is. It's the place of prayer. It's the place of repentance. It's the land will be healed. How many of you ever heard the saying that we're called to stand in the gap? Anybody want to stand in the gap as intercessors? You know what it says in that verse? It's in the book of Ezekiel. It says that we're called to stand in the gap for the land. And so we're standing in the gap. We're interceding as intercessors. But when the land begins to respond, it's because God wants all creation to glorify him. That all creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God, the sons of God or the daughters of God that will honor him. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. You exist for his pleasure. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You have breath today because God has an incredible assignment on your life. And we're all alive today because we're going to work as a team and we're going to be able to see the fulfillment of that. Anyway, it's 12:30. You know, it's getting on. But I want to be able to pray for you all, if I could. And, you know, move this aside. You know, I want you to see the incredible hope and future that you have. You are amazing for more than one reason. You have had the privilege to know the one who will reign on the earth. Jesus Christ will come back to the earth one day soon. I believe it will be in your lifetime. And when he comes, he's going to rule the earth. He's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. Okay? He's coming to take over. He will be the king of the whole earth. I don't know if you've read Psalm chapter 2 lately. Psalm chapter 2 says at the beginning, it says, God sits in the heavens and he laughs. He says, why are the kings, you know, devising a vain thing? It's like the kings of the earth taking their stand. It's the whole, you know what's happening? The whole earth, much of the earth is in a place right now that they've deciding that they really hate God. And the bottom line is there's a battle coming between light and darkness. And that battle is raging more today than it's ever raged, I believe, in the history of the earth. And the best thing, the wisest thing that you can do is to prepare yourself for that battle that's taking place. To realize that God has actually called you to be part of the solution. And as you begin to give yourself wholeheartedly to him, realizing that you exist for his pleasure and you're part of the solution on the earth and that Jesus is coming back to be king over all the earth. And as you make a decision to follow his leadership and to come into alignment with the will of God and to glorify him, you are going to be the most successful winner, you know, on this whole, the face of the whole earth. Whatever you do will succeed and prosper. God will bless you. You're going to be filled with joy. The whole world may look like it can go to hell in a handbasket, but you and I are going to have the joy of the Lord inside of us. And people are going to look at you and say, what's so different about you? There's so much trouble on the earth because darkness, you know, the Bible says that gross darkness covers the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Do you understand the incredible call on your life? God allowed you to be born in this time as young people because he believed that you had what it took to become the greatest leaders on the face of the earth at the end time. He looked at you and he says, you've got what it takes. This generation has what it takes. You've got what it takes. He allowed you to be born at this time and in this hour and in this day. Absolutely an incredible privilege. But it's something that we need to take serious because it's an invitation. You've been given an invitation that's an incredible invitation. We could have you stand. Can we have some worship team back too, please? I want to pray that God fills your heart with a sense of recognizing the urgency of the hour, you know, but also fills you with a dynamic revelation that the reason you exist, the reason he's given you breath is for the sake of his glory, to gaze upon his beauty. Psalm 149 or 150, somewhere in there, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, it is the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do. You know, I may be older than you, but I'm not that much older. And I have seen a lot of different things, and I realized that, you know, what I've seen and noticed is people that decide that they want to do it apart from God are the ones that have the greatest problems in life, and those people that will agree to give, that their lives will glorify and honor Him, are the ones that are the most fulfilled, that seem to rise to the top, that God uses them most powerfully. It's the most awesome thing. So can we have anybody that would like to have some prayer? If you could just come to the front. And I want to be able to pray with you, and if we could have some of our leadership join with us as well. But what I want to pray for is just that He would prepare your heart for the days that are to come, and that your heart would be at this place that you would be willing to glorify and honor Him. That you would come into agreement with the statement that you exist to give Him glory. You exist for His purpose. That you exist for Him, and that you'll, you know, that you're just making a decision all over again to say that you're willing to re-examine certain parts of your life. You're willing to re-examine and say, you know, if there's something in my life that doesn't fully glorify and honor you, then I want it moved out of the way, and I need help, God, to make sure that every part of my life honors you and glorifies you. And so if you feel like you'd like us to just pray for that over you and bless you with it, or if there's anything else, just come on up and, you know, let's honor the Lord. I tell you, it's the most edifying things. If you want a challenging life, don't listen to what I'm telling you. If you want your life to be full of joy and glory and the goodness of God, you know, it's good to have a bit of a course correction. We call it a plumb line. You know, who knows what a plumb line is? It's this thing that just says whether it's a straight line or not. And God wants to keep us in the straight line. He wants us aligned to His purposes so that our lives will be, you know, so fulfilled, and that we'll be part of the solution. He's calling you to be part of the solution. He has an incredible call in your life. So come on up if that's you, if you'd like us to pray for you. And then, I don't know, from Jez or Belinda or anybody, if there's anything else that we do, just pray and dismiss. Okay, so anybody that wants prayer, come on up. Rest of you, you're dismissed as you feel you want to be. God bless you. And thanks for the privilege of having me here today.
Guys, could you put back the chairs if you're not staying? And can you just keep it down? Because people want to receive prayer. So try, if you want to talk, talk outside. And also, there's no services until the new year. So we'll see you in 2012. Ooh.